Okay, I'm thinking by now that if you had not thought about it before, and it had not been a consideration, that now you might consider the importance of setting in your environment. And on a personal basis, and that's why I brought up the story of my boys in the bathroom. Not so to give you some graphic illustration of what it's like to live in our home. The point really is the idea of seriously considering what an impact that has, how it does convey values, how it does send a message about your care and concern, your thought toward this service process. You know what that means. If you go to a store, you can probably think of some retailers where a retailer might be very organized, very clean. Another retailer might be very dirty, very disorganized. One is putting care toward the environment, care toward the setting, sees value in the relationship with you with regard to that issue. One doesn't consider that a value at all. And it's clear, we see it. It's not some thing in our mind that we don't understand, can't comprehend, unable to define. We can do that. It'd be like a neighborhood. You can tell me a story of neighborhood streets that you've driven down where there is absolutely no pride in ownership. There's a very clear message about how they feel about their environment, how important they think that is, the statement that they're making about themselves. You can go down other streets in a neighborhood and it's pristine and beautiful, it's well kept, it's manicured. And you know the statement that they're wishing to make to you as you drive by their home. It's very clear. We understand the importance of that environment, which is one of the things that Walt Disney wanted to change early on, because as Ryan indicated earlier, when he went to his own wife Lily and said, "Hey, I want to do this," she said, "Those places are so unfriendly, they're so unsafe, they're dirty." And that was the point. You know, mine wasn't going to be. Back in those days, amusement parks were bad. He changed the industry. So much to such a degree that it is really difficult for other people to catch up to the standard that you see before you own the property. It's very difficult. So there's meaning behind that, and there's reason behind that, and there is a business purpose with relation to it. All right. We've talked in our delivery systems, and as we said before, they're probably similar to yours. Cast, which are our people, the setting, which is the place. Now we're going to talk about processes, which are really those procedures. Very important to us. Pardon me, so the processes are just this, the systems that support those delivering the system and the physical environment, hopefully by eliminating any barriers that there might be getting to those points. You know, if you ever get to a point where someone says, "This is a hassle," I don't care if they're your internal client, your employee, or if they're external to you as a customer, somebody says to you, "Doing business with you is a hassle," it's probably because you have a process problem. I have something in my throat. Can you bring me something to drink, please? Oh, some of you want to feel good. Thank you. Appreciate it. So watch out for that little note about the hassle piece. Walt Disney said, "When I see things I don't like, I start thinking, why do they have to be like this, and how can I improve them?" All right, tactics for process. One, align processes with guestology. Align your processes, whether they're internal or external, with what you have found out, discovered, come to know and understand from your guests, internal or external, through your studies, which we call guestology. Again, application is not always easy. Sometimes the answers that you need to provide are things that you do not like and that you may not agree with. You should ensure that your processes support your business model. R is Cast Guest Financial. To be the goal, the employer of choice, the destination of choice, the investment of choice. In that Disney Chain of Excellence that we showed you on Tuesday. For those of you who are here. Encourage employee flexibility. What might that mean? Encourage employee flexibility. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Austin talked a little bit about this yesterday. What do we mean by encourage employee flexibility? Yes?
It's that thing they said before, which is task versus purpose.
Task versus purpose, all right. Got my task, know what my job is. Something more important than that, the overarching reason why I'm really here, yes?
I think it goes back to the, you know, to act locally, think globally, but stay within the realm of your ability. So following whether the, some of the things that are brought up, like giving a fast pass or something like that.
Okay, all right.
Giving them a little employee leeway.
A little leeway. There you go. All right. Anybody agree? Everybody agree? Yes.
Empowerment.
Empowerment. Oh, such a big word. And quite an important word, really. Yeah, giving up decision-making authority and power. Is that tough for some leaders, managers, owners to do? Absolutely it is. Because there's a trust factor involved there. But think about empowering your employee, what that means, what statement you're making, what the relationship would be with you and them, if we were, in fact, to kind of open up a little bit and actually give up some power and decision-making authority. Not too long ago, I went to a large retailer, even an illustration of this, and at this retail store, I was standing in at the register. The person, true story, standing at the register, and the person was scanning my merchandise. All of a sudden, she was scanning my merchandise, she just froze stiff. I mean, froze, just stopped. Turned as white as a sheet, and she started shaking. And she was physically shaking as much as you see my hands shaking. I kind of leaned into her, I thought she was going to pass out. So you all right? You okay? This is how she audibly responded to me. Couldn't understand a thing she said. Then all of a sudden, standing there, she puts her hands, throws them up over her head, and goes just like this. It's up. I've done something. I don't know what it is, but I can't show
you. The jig is up.
About 25 registers way over here. This lady sees her and basically responds by doing the same thing. She goes like this. And then she runs as fast as she can over the register, pushes her out of the way, reaches down to her blouse, pulls out a string of the key on it, unlocks the register, the top of it, and pulls out the receipt tape that got out of the pink part of the paper. Throws it down in a box, reaches down, pulls up another one, plops it in, runs it through, closes it up, locks it, steps back, puts the key on the string back in her blouse, looks at the poor gal behind the register, says, you all right, you okay? Kind of the same response. Then she walks off. And she finishes scanning my merchandise. And she turns to me, you know, I pay, she gives me the total, gives me the receipt. She said, have a good day. And I said, no.
She said, not so much.
I didn't want to send her, you know. So I said, no, I said, look, I have a question for you. I said, what was all that? So she said, I interrupted. I said, I saw you ran out of the tape, like on the pink part of the paper. So I said, you know, why don't you, and I made a motion like a key, you know. Well, she cut me off. She goes, oh, we're not allowed to have a key. You know, and how many registers do you think a company like that buys from NCR or has? I mean, call it a day, call them up, say, hey, we don't trust our employees with a key to the drawer, a key to the top separately, and get rid of all of that. About 2 months later, I was back in the same store, you know, same store, right, back at the register. And they were checking me out, you know, she's doing the scanning thing. And we got to the point where she gave me the total, and dummy me. I admit this is my problem. I had forgotten my ATM, my debit card, so I had to write a check. So I wrote the check, you know, and I gave her the check. Well, she takes my check, you know, like this, and she goes like this. Same thing, like, you know, 25 registered people in here. This lady sees her, and the lady goes like this. So the person at the register takes my check, she runs it through the system, lifts up the drawer, puts it in it, closes it up, keys the receipt, says, have a good day. And I said, yeah. She says, is there a problem? And I said, oh, I have a question. So I can help you. I said, what was all that? And she said, oh, you see that lady down the stairs here? She said, well, she had to approve your check.
Oh.
I said, now you listen to me. If that lady can approve my check at 100 paces, you need to hire 100 more of her. She's good. So let me just say that this is a big deal. This is a big deal. You're standing at an information counter. You're standing at a counter that says help. You explain your dilemma. The person behind the counter looks at you and has the gall because they've been set up for failure. After all of that, to look at you and say, you know what, I'm not able to help you with that, but let me go get somebody who can. Let you do what? Who put you there and set you up for failure? Power and decision-making authority. Very important to increase, to allow, and encourage employee flexibility. And of course, be part of the CIP, continuous improvement process. We truly do believe that. Well, here's a family who are at Disneyland. It's the end of a summer day. It's about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. They have been at the park all day long, and they are absolutely dead tired. In fact, this family's so tired, the kid in the green shirt isn't even with them. That's correct. Now, I will tell you that the mother and the father are having a conversation. The conversation that the mother and the father are having are very typical of a family. A lot of families at the end of an operating day, the mother's asking the father, the father's asking the mother, where did we park the car? That's right. Well, they can't sit there all day. They have no idea, so they leave, go on the motor coach back over here to the Mickey and Friends parking structure, one of the largest parking structures in the Western Hemisphere. Now they're out of the tram. They're looking at that. They're kind of teary-eyed because they know they parked somewhere that building. They just can't remember where. So, see this? We give this to every guest at the very beginning of the day. And I ran this department for a couple of years as the operations manager. We prided ourselves in giving this to every guest so that they would remember the floor, the section, the aisle, using the register, who sold it, what time, what date, everything. And told them, circle it, keep it, use it at the end of the day as a reference point. We even have signs like this, you know, remember where you parked. And we find, through our research, that people remember in different ways. Color, number, character. Most women remember by color. Most children by
character.
That's correct. And how are men going to remember it?
Ask your wife and kids. Take a picture with your phone.
Who said that?
It's call it a day.
Okay, we can take those critters back, too. So guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen? Seriously. The guests are going to walk up to one of our cast members in parking, Christine or Tony, and they are going to ask a stupid 3 o'clock parade question. In fact, the husband, I'll tell you, is probably the one that's going to do it. And the husband's going to do something like this. You know, his Tony, he's here. But my wife lost the car. Right?
My wife lost the car.
I got you back. All right. And you know how many cars we park a day? You know, 45,000. Do you have any cars we park today? I mean, do you honestly think that we're going to know where you parked your car? Right? So Tony's going to ask him about that slip of paper that I showed you. And say, hey, buddy, do you remember us giving you this? No. Nobody ever gets that. Do you remember seeing something like this when you came out? No. Did you just have those during the pandemic? Right? So Tony's next going to say, what time of day did you get here today? It's really weird, really strange. But most people are going to remember the time they got here. And do you remember when Ryan said that we put you between the two white hash marks where we want you to park? Do you remember we said that just a little while ago? That's called speed parking, because we do know where we put you. And what happened is the very first summer, our cast members saw this. So we listened to the front line that we consider to be our bottom line. And they brought us this simple 8.5x11 sheet of paper with all of the sections of the lot marked out and every aisle and every row. And marked that whole sheet for the day in 10-minute increments. So what happens is they'll say, we got here, about 10:10. We're going to put them in a van. We're going to take them to the floor, aisle, and section. We were parking somewhere time between 10:10 and 10:20. And as we start to kind of slow the van down in that section, inevitably somebody in the car is going to stop and say, hey, well, there's our car right there in Donald 10C. And it's wonderful. And it didn't take anything. Didn't cost us a dime. And as they're getting out, and I've seen this many times because, as I said, I was the operations manager for a few years. It's so true. As we're walking, there's stuff from our van to their car, you know, usually like the mother. They get a little suspicious now. You know, they're talking to the cast members. They're walking. Well, I don't understand. Were people following us? Do you have cameras? How do you know we're following? We tell them, no, sir, no, ma'am. It's Disney what? Magic. And they go home to Arizona or wherever they're from, and that's the story that they tell. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes we have to compensate for our clients. All right, action steps process. Let's turn to page 34, if you would, in your book, please. And as you do, it just says, identify a process that you can improve in your organization. And then you're just going to take a look at the current state and the future state under needs, wants, stereotypes, and emotions. and then you can describe the desired outcome as far as that three-legged stool, guest cast financial, when you think about that, okay? And Ryan and I are going to provide that to you as a homework assignment, a little homework. So think about the process. You certainly don't have to think about something now that you could improve, but in time you may want to give some thought to. Just, it can be a very simple process. Again, if it's a process, you know, that doesn't need fixing, maybe it does, don't know, depending on whose eyes or filter you're looking at. But if anybody is telling you this is a hassle, well, that's kind of the way it has to be done, you know, or, well, if it isn't broken, don't fix it, that type of thing. Walt Disney said, when I see things I don't like, I think, why do they have to be that way, and how can I improve them? Understanding that you want to eliminate as many process problems as you possibly can. All right, we've talked about guestology today, quality standards, delivery systems. Now we're really going to kind of put this all together. We're going to do it in a beautiful piece of artwork we'll show you in just a moment. This is the interweaving of all those components that we talked about today to really create this seamless guest experience. And this is really the magic of how we operate our theme park parks worldwide for the Walt Disney Company. We take those quality standards of safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency, which are always in this order, that priority, correct. And we couple those, if you will, with cast setting and process. Now, as grandiose and or as complicated as you may think it is to run a place like Disneyland, brace yourselves and just take a real nice seat. Because I will tell you, and I'm glad you're seated when I tell you this, what you're looking at in this keynote on the board right now is the single, the only, the one tool that we use worldwide to manage our parks. This is it. So if you have a great day and it's Disney magic and it's working, everything's flowing, it's just as grand as could be, it's because we're hitting cylinders here. This is the tool. There are no others. I know because I've lived it for most of my life. So when our managers, our leaders, go out into their areas to inspect what they expect and spend more than and are required to spend more than 75% of their day doing this, how, where their business is, where the rubber meets the road, they're looking for every way where the cast is delivering on safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency, where the setting is delivering on those four, and where the processes are delivering on those four. That is what they're doing. All right. Oh, wouldn't that be a perfect day? That's tough. Let me just tell you. Hollywood Tower of Terror. So we start to go out and we look in the park. We train our cast, our leaders. We train them to look for certain things. One of the things we train them to look for is something that we call performance theming. And we love it when people play with a park well, don't we? Do we not? Mm-hmm. You know, in the world of medicine, doctors, they call it what?
Bedside manner.
Absolutely. We want people to play well in their role. We don't want to see people on telephones having personal conversations, maybe when we're checking out at a register. Ryan told you about a cleaners he goes to. I go to a dry cleaners and pass three other dry cleaners to this dry cleaners. The reason I do is because when I pull my car between those two white hash marks to park and get out, the owner inside sees me. She gets up, she goes, gets my clothes, has them hang, goes to the register, gets whatever she does there. When I come to the shop, she calls me my name, welcomes me back, etc., etc. I love her. If I went in there tomorrow, she said, "Oh, Mr. Kimbrell, it's awful. I gotta tell you, we burned your clothes." They go, "Oh, I got a closet full of clothes." Well, by the reverse of that, I will tell you, there's a bakery I used to go to all the time, not too far from here. And I went there because I love coconut cake. Love it. This place had great coconut cake. But I noticed, I think they like were bought out of one or new management. You know, the service really gave away. And I thought, you know, next time I go in there, I'm gonna see how long it takes them to provide me with service. Which happened to be my last time. You'll know why in just a moment. But it's one of those shops where, you know, you walk in, the little eye's broken, and the whole alarm goes, ding, ding, ding. I mean, you can't help but know someone has come into the store. And the shop was very small. The shop was probably about a third the size of this room. There were not one, not two, but there were three people behind the counter, two ladies and a young gentleman, all engaged in personal conversation. Oh, by the way, I mean, I've heard things I had not. So I stood and I listened. It was very entertaining. And 10 minutes went by before the young man turned just like this and said, "Yeah, what?" And I said, "You know what? Nothing." Turned around and walked out and never went back. This is someone who obviously does not know how to play their part very well. Tower Terror, we have a great cast member over there. His name is Terry J. We love Terry. He's fabulous. And we went to him and we said, "Hey, You really do a great job at what we call performance theming. Or as William Shakespeare once wrote, "Whate'er thou art, act well thy part." He's not an actor, he's a cast member of the attraction. Let's see what he did.
A warm and gracious welcome to the Hollywood Tower Hotel. We have been expecting you. I think you'll find that the entire hotel staff is looking forward to taking care of you. And oh yes, please, do enjoy your
All right, so I think he does a really good job.
His great bedside manner, you know, as we could put it.
So we go out, you know, we want our cast to be courteous. Of course, we do. We expect that, really, through all the training that we provide them. But what about the cast and show? Safety's not a, you know, a given, but it's pretty non-negotiable. What about the cast and show and the cast and efficiency? Well, if I walked up to this cast member or was observing this cast member and looking at safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency, where is this cast member very simply delivering on safety? Absolutely, yeah. You know, making sure the right people are right in the attraction, of course. What about courtesy? Does he have open body language?
Yeah.
Sure he does. Are his hands in front or behind him?
Behind him.
Yeah, you bet they are. Is he smiling, though?
No.
He is not. Why? He's in character. He's playing well at card. Absolutely. Safety, courtesy. What about show? How does he look personally?
Clean.
He really does. What about his area, his immediate area?
Clean.
Absolutely. How would he be playing to efficiency? You may not know this because you may not have been trained, but he's always going to adjust the cue. He's going to make sure that, you know, if you're like 90 years old and you're hobbling up and you go, oh,
don't go on in with the hobby.
We kind of want to ride it, though. We don't waste your time, right? Offering fast pass. There are other things you could do as a cast member to do that. All right. Let's go back. We talked about this on our tour. What if you're not tall enough? What's he going to do? Very good. He is going to alter the experience you're at because he's got to say something to you. It's that, remember, two-letter, single syllable, yeah, one consonant, one vowel, and the word is what?
No.
Ooh, does any client want to hear that? No, absolutely not, right? So when my 10-year-old now was about four, he could not ride this and his two brothers could. He didn't want to come here anymore. And he said, you know what? I don't want to go there anymore. I said, why? He said, because those people are mean and they hate me. Now, if you don't think that people at that age drive revenue, You're wrong. They drive a lot of revenue. That's a client. That is a client of ours and a very, very important, literally a very important client. So, I had to introduce Alexander to what we call the future Twilight Zone Traveler certificate here. Look, it certifies that when you are tall enough and you reach that height, you and your family come back without waiting line, go right to the front of it. So they're going to go home, they're going to take this little 7-cent piece of paper, what are they going to do? When they get tall enough, what are they going to tell their parents? They're going to take that 7-cent piece of paper and say, spend $7,000. Back they come to the park, and when I brought Alexander, I said, I got to show you this. This is a kid that didn't want to come here. Honestly, literally, truly did not want to come here. Then what happened after this was introduced, he was chomping the bit. He wanted to come here as often as he possibly can. He had quite a few of these by the time he was talking. So we really ride. So we took somebody who was, I don't want to get near the place, to, they couldn't wait to come back, and it was very simple to do that. Or we do it in a couple of ways. We can say yes, say once, twice, say no, or say yes twice, right? It's very possible to think about that, though. What does it mean to you and your business? Because you got to say no. We know you do. We know you have to say no. We know you don't want to say no. But if you do have to say no, how can you couple that with a yes? All right. Setting and show, yeah, our setting, we want the show to be great. But what about setting and courtesy, setting and efficiency? How would this setting be courteous? You know, it's 90 days today in Anaheim. That mist has really created, pardon me, a great eeriness for the show. But what's it doing to the ambient temperature?
Cool.
Sure it is. Yeah. The efficiency of the cue might even be just perceived. Right? Isn't it a great compliment when a guest gets to the front of our attraction board and say, and they look at their watch and they say it like this, wow, that really was 45 minutes. What are they saying? Didn't seem like it, right? Because they're being entertained in route. All right, process and efficiencies, we want them to be efficient, but we can also fold into the efficiencies of our processes show. Instead of just cold, hard machines that are going to sit out there, we actually have the dispensers that are themed. Efficiency is giving you back the gift of time. We talked about this on our walk, giving you a 1 hour designated window of time to come back and enjoy the attraction with a minimal wait in line. All right, there it is, kind of non-negotiable. We do expect certain things from our cast, and now guess what? It's actually time to go. And this is where your self-guided experience comes in today. I'd like all of you to turn to page 51, if you would please. All right? In just a few moments, Ryan and I will be walking you to the west exit floodgate of Disneyland Park. When we do this, we're going to take you inside the gate, and from the point that we get you there, we are going to leave you on your own. And here is what we want and need you to do. Be a stealth about this. So when you do what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to borrow your pen right here, I'm going to make you a moment. You're not going to, you know, look at customers, stand by customers, and go like this. You know, because that's just, all right. So what we need you to do is we need you to put on what we believe you have developed in the last few hours with us. Your new pay attention eyes and ears. Your new pay attention eyes and ears. Now, if you've been to a Disney theme park before, congratulations. If you've been a guest with us before, bravo, howdy do, thank you so much. I'm not really interested in that. I really, truly, we need you to truly look at this business now differently, all right? So we're going to send you out with this matrix, with this matrix. From the time we get to Disneyland, you're going to have about 25 to 30 minutes to utilize this matrix inside the park. Because we need you to come back to this location by 3:35. Okay, 3:35. Please do not be late. No later than 3:35. All right. I, Ryan, we expect you to be critical. Because I'll tell you, if I were doing it and I was a leader in the area, I'm going to be critical. Yes, I will find things that work. Yes, I will find things that are great. Things that are absolutely wonderful, that everybody's doing fine and dandy on. I'm going to do that, absolutely. But I'm also going to be critical about what I'm looking for because I'm here to protect what is Disney. Okay? So if before you've gone out with rose-colored glasses on, everything's just hunky-dory, and you go home to wherever you're from, you say, oh, it's fun, get those kids kind of, et cetera. We are interested in you going out with your new set of pay attention eyes and ears on, and looking at this with a higher degree of criticality. So you're going to take this out and you're going to use this tool as if you were a leader in the area. Try to observe one cast member, safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. One setting where it might lend a safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. And one process where it might lend safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. Quite frankly, if you're only able to do one, that's fine. But we would like you to come back with some ammo and your guns blazing. When you come back, you'll have just a bit of feedback when you return with this tool. Is that clear? Please don't wear your name tags. This is one where you have to leave your name tag behind, put them on the table. You're going to be remembered under the radar.